This recording is produced from Open Reel Tapes, originally recorded for Vancouver Community College, Langara Campus, in 1974. This program forms part of the Langara College Reel History Project, which restores and preserves British Columbia's oral history. This project is funded in part by the British Columbia 2000 Millennium Arts and Heritage Fund, in partnership with Vancouver Public Library and Langara College. Copyright for this product is held by Langara College. It may not be reproduced in whole or part, in any form, without permission from the copyright holder. The title of this recording is Mennonite Communities. The interviewer is Morag McLaughlin. The interviewees are Agatha Klassen, Helena Brown. The audience consists of students in the BC Studies course at Vancouver Community College, Langara Campus.
Well, I think tonight's proceedings are going to be a bit more informal than last night. Half the group were in Yarrow today. We still haven't heard about your adventures there. But, oh, did you? I see. Miss Agatha Klassen is from Yarrow and is also writing a history of Yarrow. And Miss Helena Braun has lived in the Greendale area, and both areas are Mennonite communities. And they have come up tonight because they've responded to the sort of pressures I put on my friends when I get up here and exploit them for your benefit. But I think we'll just start by, because I didn't ask them to do anything very formal, but Agatha is writing a history of Yarrow, and I think she'd be willing to speak to us about that.
Well, actually, I didn't know anything about the history of Yarrow, because even though I have lived there, I'm not one of the original people there. The first people came to Yarrow in 1928, and I wasn't there until 1941. But I became very interested in the history of Yarrow when the students at school, I'm a librarian at Silhouette Senior Secondary, began to do studies of local areas. And so then they asked me about Yarrow, and I didn't know anything about Yarrow. So I started doing some research. And unfortunately, most of the original people that came to Yarrow in 1928, or even some of their children, had left the area by this time. And however, there's a Mrs. J.C. Krause, whose husband had done a lot of writing, and he had written down his memoirs, and I was able to get quite a bit of information from her. And so a lot of my research is based on these memoirs. But then I also went and looked up all the write-ups about Yarrow in the Chilliwack Progress. And I went fine-tooth comb through these and got a lot of information there. And various old newspapers and magazines and so on, whatever I could get. But a lot of it is from interviewing people, from all the way from Vancouver to Winnipeg, trying to get information. Shall I start now at the beginning? Yeah. Of this, or this was taken from the recollections of Mr. Jacob C. Krause, who passed away in 1970, but he was one of the original people in Yarrow. The originator of the movement of the Mennonites from the prairies to British Columbia was the late Chauncey Eckert. Together with E. A. Crane, he had acquired the land near Yarrow for the establishment of a settlement. After an attempt a few years earlier to settle the area with people of Ukrainian origin failed, Mr. Eckert and Mr. Crane continued to advertise in the newspapers, hoping to find suitable settlers for this area. In response to Mr. Eckert's advertisement in the Winnipeg Free Press, Prairie Farmer, weekly newspaper, 15 families arrived in the spring of 1928. They had no other resources than a goodwill, strong arms, and faith in God. Most of them knew nothing of each other, but shared the common experience of failure in Saskatchewan or Manitoba. Mr. Krause's own experience serves as an illustration. He had bought a fully equipped farm near Davidson, Saskatchewan, with a $1 down payment, but with a one-sided contract that was advantageous only to the owner. He was soon convinced that eventual ownership was impossible. By chance, the advertisement of available land in British Columbia came into his hands. He sold the few assets that he had acquired in 2 years and had just enough money to pay for his move to BC. He left Davidson in a severe snowstorm on February the 16th, 1928. Putting his future into God's hands, with his wife and his four small children, they sped into the night and into the unknown. After an exciting and interesting train trip to the Rockies, they arrived in Chilliwack on February the 18th, 1928, and were greeted by the gentle, warm air of spring. After a few hours of waiting for the BC Electric train, which was to bring them to Yarrow Station, they continued on their way. They were the fifth or sixth family to arrive in response to the advertisement in the free press. Others arrived the next day. Most of them found shelter in a large farmhouse on Majuba Hill. Do you know where Majuba Hill is? Okay. For several weeks, it's the hill above Yarrow, right? For several weeks, they lived in close quarters. They spent the days with Mr. Eckert, who showed his land and talked big plans. It didn't take him long to discover how little money each of them had. Eventually, the time came when they had to choose the location of their homestead. Mr. Eckert accepted as little as $1 down payment on a 10-acre parcel of land. Then he waited long and patiently for payment. He foreclosed on no one, even if they couldn't make their payments. Mr. Eckert ordered lumber by the carload for homes and outbuildings. Again, he extended credit to anyone. At this time, Wilson Road was the only road in Yarrow. When the lumber arrived at the Yarrow station, it had to be hauled by a team of horses provided by Mr. Eckert. A chain was fastened around a pile of lumber, which was hauled away across the unfenced fields. Often the whole transport would bog down in the mud, or the harness would tear. Occasionally, there was a runaway to add to the difficulties. Soon houses and outbuildings dotted the landscape, and families found shelter under their own roofs. There were no exact boundaries at first, and consequently no fences existed to keep cattle within bounds. It was not uncommon to be awakened at night by strange cattle rubbing themselves on the house corners. The present Yarrow Central Road was at that time a broken-down fence along which giant poppers scored the sky with their branches. It was a time when everyone performed work for the community. Roads had to be made passable, and fences had to be erected. In the midst of all these activities came the pressing need of preparing the land for planting. Again, Mr. Eckert extended credit to buy the necessary farm implements. The next problem was what to plant. Sugar beets and beans proved a total failure. The beets rotted during the period of high water in the spring, and the optimistic bean growers were unpleasantly surprised when many sacks of beans were returned from the canneries in New Westminster. They were left holding the bags of beans and the bills for the freight charges. One unhappy farmer received a check for 35 cents. Many things were given a try the first 2 years. After sugar beets, beans, head lettuce, asparagus, spinach, cabbage, carrots had their turn. Finally, they planted rhubarb, strawberries, and raspberries, and these three with a considerable measure of success. For the men of the community, farming at home began after having put in a full day's work at the Canadian Hop Yard on Sumas Prairie, where many of them found employment in March of 1928. Without the extra income, no one could have survived during those early years. Average pay for labor in 1928-9 was 15 cents per hour. How often they walked the 3.5 miles to the hop yards. How great was the occasion when a neighbor of Mr. Krause's, Mr. David Rempel and Mr. Krause, had prospered enough to buy a small horse for $20. The horse became the general factotum of the farm. Because Rempel and Krause could not both ride at once, one of them would ride a stretch, then dismount, hitch the horse to a tree, and proceed on foot. This alternate riding and walking would shorten the distance for both of them. Dolly's reward was a day of grazing. It meant a lot of hard work for every capable hand throughout the year to keep things going. Praise is due to their practical, enduring wives, says Mr. Krause, who managed to look after the youngsters, prepare the meals, mend the clothes, besides assisting in the hoeing of sugar beets, beans, spinach, cabbage, and later rhubarb and raspberries, and there were many children in those families. At hop harvest time, Yarrow was almost deserted. Everyone was picking hops, with the exception of old Grandpa Nick Reimer. The Canadian Hop Growing Company paid 1¾ cents per pound. Another important factor for the survival of many of them was the assistance given by the young girls of the community who did housework in Vancouver and with their earnings supported the folks at home. Then Mr. Krause goes on to say how helpful the local businessmen in Chilliwack were, and also how helpful Mr. Eckert was, whom they called the father of the community, because many times he would take orders, seeing they had hardly any transportation at that time. Maybe one person had a car or something, or maybe a truck, but most people had no transportation whatsoever, and he would take orders and bring groceries and things from Vancouver, or from Chilliwack, rather. And he goes on to say how helpful the friendliness of the only English family in the community, and that was the Bill Sadal family, who is the postmaster in Yarrow. And Mr. Sadal even learned a little bit of Low German in order to accommodate the people who at first could speak hardly any English at all. And he goes on to talk about a Dr. White, who sometimes helped them in their Sunday church services, which, incidentally, at first were held along the slopes of the Vedder Mountain or at Caldas Lake before they had a church. And sometimes the Mennonite people complained about the unfriendliness of their neighbors, although maybe it was a two-way street. And Dr. White said to them, "Widen your circle of love and friendship, even to include those who dislike you." And Mr. Krause says he has never forgotten that statement. And to carry on with the agriculture, after many unsuccessful experiments with the growing of sugar beets and a variety of vegetables, they found a measure of success in rhubarb and raspberries. With this problem solved, they began looking for a good method of marketing. And so in 1936, a growers' cooperative was formed, exclusively with the Mennonite farmers at first. And with its packing and marketing facilities, this expanding organization became a very important factor in the growing economy of the little community. After they had discovered raspberries and it began to be a profitable crop, everything in Yarrow actually changed. They began to build bigger and better houses. Old houses received new coats of paint, and many of the old home sites were surrounded with flower beds, well-kept lawns, and an assortment of fruit and nut trees. Another sign of improving conditions was a noticeable change in the modes of transportation. The bicycle was giving way to the Model T Ford, and with it came the fun of tire patching, car repairing, and pushing stalled cars. It was a great joy when the BC Electric strung its power line through the village in 1933, and they could turn on a switch to brighten the often crowded rooms. And in 1937, the first telephone was installed in Yarrow. The first 10 years passed by with much toiling, planning, and debt paying. More and more people arrived from the prairies and the United States, coming by train and by car. And as another loaded Ford would pass to the Sumas border,